Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Come your way in 20. Mraz has his up the gut NFL picks and his football food of the week. Gelb's Gambles comes your way in 40 minutes. Both those guys went 2-1 last week, which means Mraz still holds a 2.5 game lead in the standings. The Wizard of Odds comes your way in hour 4 this morning on the program. Tomorrow, 3 good games, potentially. We'll see. Maybe the Bills blow out the Lions in Detroit. Maybe the Cowboys blow out the Giants in Dallas. Maybe the late game we see the unraveling yet again in prime time of Kirk Cousins. But all three have playoff-worthy teams, at least one of them, in each of the three games. So we actually have something to look forward to on Thanksgiving. Good football. Super interesting game on Sunday at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, where the Jets will host the Chicago Bears. Now, Justin Fields is dealing with a shoulder injury, and there is some criticism being levied at the Bears right now that they are responsible for injuring Justin Fields. They have given him a lot of leeway, a lot of green lights to use his legs to scrambles, designed runs. And it has worked certainly at times this season. But last week, as it seemed like he has been kind of wearing down, the Atlanta Falcons had a game plan to blitz him consistently. They were prepared for the designed quarterback scrambles and brought a safety down a lot of times, knowing that the Bears were not going to challenge them downfield of the passing game. And Fields got banged around quite a bit in that game. On the Bears' final drive, the Bears dialed up a quarterback sweep on first down. Fields ran left and was hit going out of bounds where he fell on his left shoulder. On the next play, after falling on his shoulder, Fields ran a draw up the middle and slid and then was hit as well on that play late. There was no flag. You could see Fields get up after that and he was holding his shoulder. You could tell he wasn't right And then late in the game, he was kind of getting his finger under his shoulder pad, trying to work it through, working his neck around, working his head around. Something was definitely not right. Now, apparently Fields also had some cramps during the game as well. And despite Fields having cramps, despite the Falcons being ready for the quarterback runs, despite the Falcons having extra safety in the box, they still ran Fields twice on the final drive of the game. As for the quarterback draw on 2nd and 9 with under 2 minutes to play, Matt Eberflus said, quote, "That was a mistake. It was supposed to be a halfback draw. So he was supposed to hand it off there. That was supposed to be to David Montgomery going up the middle." So you might say, okay, that's not of the coaching staff. That's on Fields. He's got to read it better. He's got to hand it off. But is there a point in time where Matt Eberflus and that coaching staff has to hammer home to Justin Fields, we don't want you hit anymore. Do not take this option. This is a direct handoff. This is not an option for if you see something. Because I think what we've seen here is that Justin Fields, over the course of last year and this year, has been put in some pretty tough situations, and he does keep competing. Fields has remained bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, energetic, said the right things. He's not pouting. He's not resentful. He's not being a brat. He's competing every single Sunday. And there would be reason as a young quarterback who won a lot of football games at Ohio State to not feel so spry and optimistic and competitive over these two seasons with the disaster that was last year, the firing of a head coach and a staff, and then this year, a brand new head coach and staff where they have lost 7 of their last 8 games and once again have a year in futility at just 3-8. But I think anybody that's watched this team, even after trading away 2 of their best players, Quinn and Smith at the trade deadline on defense, the offense actually has looked okay. In the loss to the Cowboys, they put up 29 points. In the win over the Patriots on that Monday night, they put up 33 points. Against the Dolphins, they lost 35-32. And against the Lions, they lost 31-30. The offense over the last month plus has actually started to put it together. But I think if you're the Bears, you have to be uber careful right now in a lost season that you do not late in this year need to sacrifice Justin Fields' health. This is not about wins and losses this year. You can't put bubble wrap on a guy. He's going to start at quarterback in the NFL. He's going to get hit. But as a young guy that last year took a lot of abuse behind a porous offensive line, and then this year, who's taken a lot of abuse as well because the coaching staff doesn't mind running him a whole hell of a lot, you've got to be more careful than they were on Sunday. You've got to be better as the leaders, as the protectors of Justin Fields. The Chicago Bears, as well documented, they have not had a franchise QB drafted by the organization since the mid-80s and Jim McMahon. That's how long this has gone. You are at the point where 40 years has passed. 40! Since you've drafted and developed a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. Do not sacrifice this one to the Lambs. Do not commit professional negligence on this one. Last year, you had every reason to believe they didn't get it right again. That Justin Fields again was the wrong guy in the wrong spot for the wrong team. And yet this year, I think Bears fans have been energized. Hey, wait a second. We got something here. We actually got something. But you've got a defensive-minded head coach an inexperienced head coach and a team that's feeling a little bit of a pop now, and you can't be risky. And I think last week they were unnecessarily risky with Fields, and that's on them. Thankfully, not a more serious injury, but still shouldn't be an injury at all. They put him in harm's way, and that's on the coaching. This game on Sunday is a massive one for the Jets. I really considered Sunday a playoff game against the Patriots, that if the Jets were to be taken seriously as a defense, as a team, as a playoff contender, you had to slay the dragon of the Patriots, especially after you gave one away at home a couple of weeks earlier. Well, the defense came to play. The defense gave you everything you could possibly hope for and more, and you still kicked the bucket. You still lost in the punt return. You still got nothing out of your quarterback, and now there's major controversy surrounding whether Zach Wilson is your guy. Sunday is less about Zach Wilson and more about Robert Saleh. You've got to win this game. And Zach Wilson, if he comes out on Sunday and throws for 320 yards and 3 touchdowns, God bless. I don't think that's going to happen. I think more than likely, if the Jets are going to win this game and Zach Wilson has any hand in it, it's 215 yards, a touchdown, and no interceptions. But he didn't turn the football over. They ran the football well, played good defense, and they win 23-10. This game on Sunday is Robert Saleh's game because he's got a locker room on the fritz, a defense that is frustrated, and a young quarterback that doesn't get it yet. Can Saleh circle the wagons, make sure the locker room's in order, and go out there and beat a team you're supposed to beat? You're at home against a Bears team going nowhere with a dinged-up quarterback, even if he plays. This is a game where if the Jets play well and win comfortably, Saleh's done his job. Again, they don't need a lot out of Zach Wilson on Sunday. If the Jets come out and somehow lose this game, if the Jets come out and it looks like the defense is lackadaisical or they lack fire or they give up some big plays or they just play turnover, laden, mistake, penalty football, that's on Saleh for having lost the season last week. There's an old adage that you can't let one team beat you twice. They can't let the Patriots beat them twice. Really, three times. But they can't let last week's loss be a hangover on Sunday. It's a vitally important game for the Jets and for Saleh. Can hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. We ranked last hour the best Thanksgiving games tomorrow. My favorite is Giants and Cowboys. Mraz, what's your favorite offering tomorrow?
I mean, clearly it's going to be Giants-Cowboys. I'm a little biased. That being said, other than that, I'm really, really intrigued by Vikings-Patriots. And I find the Patriots extremely boring. But because of what happened to the Vikings last week and the Kirk Cousins primetime thing and Belichick just kind of laughing at any quarterback that he could play, that, you know, he could foil, I find that game extremely, extremely interesting. It would be more interesting if there was a true competitor to the Vikings in the North, but it's a way better game than I thought preseason.
The Cousins primetime thing is now a real albatross that hangs around his neck, because every primetime game, there's not like one where he actually had a decent game. Every single one he melts down.
Right, and that's already a label. Let's face it, Thanksgiving is one of those days you could be remembered forever for good or bad. I mean, the Mark Sanchez butt fumble happened on Thanksgiving night. I mean,
if that happens at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, it does not have the same resonance.
Right. When Randy Moss goes off, when you think of Thanksgiving Day in Dallas, despite how many great moments he had in his career. If Kirk Cousins implodes on prime time versus the Patriots,
a 3-interception,
right,
pick six, fumbled snap type night,
that will be the signature prime time moment whenever anybody makes a case against Kirk Cousins that you will remember for the rest of your life. I don't think that's hyperbole to say that. And if on the flip side, if he wins the game, plays great, Vikings go blow him out. You know, anytime somebody brings up Kirk Cousins in primetime, the counter-arguments could be, what about Thanksgiving night?
It would definitely give the Vikings more juice also going into the playoffs. They're going to win the division after what happened last week to be like, hey, that was a one-off. That was a bad day for us.
Right.
They really need to bounce back tomorrow night.
They effectively lock down the division if they win.
Right.
I mean, they'd be 9-2, Detroit, and, you know, it's 4-6, Green Bay 4-7. You assume the Lions lose to the Bills. 5-game lead.
With 6 to play or whatever. Tom Boyle, what's your favorite game tomorrow?
I also like Minnesota, New England. I think the matchup is going to be a good one. You know, you've got New England's defense. When they show up, they can beat anybody. You know, it feels like, you know, the Patriots giving up 33 to the Bears was an anomaly. And then we saw Fields and Chicago's offense rip off like 30 points 4 weeks in a row. But they have destroyed the Jets both times they've played them. So if they show up, I think they're a team that can neutralize Minnesota's offense. They can shut down Dalvin Cook. They can at least limit Justin Jefferson. And then, you know, we're making fun of Mac Jones. It feels like, when is he ever going to show up and, like, win a game for New England rather than their defense, or rather than, you know, Ramondre Stevenson and the offensive line just getting them in good field position? So I think, obviously, this is big for Minnesota and Kirk Cousins, but, you know, you can make a case Patriots season starting to hang in the balance here.
Yeah, they've scooted by some games that they probably didn't deserve to win. I mean, last week was both Jets games, really, they didn't deserve to win. They played poorly right. In both of those games. They had a good second half of the first one, but they should have been down 17-3. Questionable, rough of the passer call. They could have lost either one of them. They got both of them. They got the Colts in the middle of the disaster. Sam Ehlinger, I mean, if the Colts have not been great, but they got the Sam Ehlinger day for the Colts. And, you know, I don't think the Patriots are as good as their record.
They aren't, and they weren't last year, but they made the playoffs. And right. If they win this game, I mean, you're talking about all these fun teams in the AFC. You could potentially have the Patriots taking a playoff position away from the Chargers or even the Jets, where you would look at and go, I'd rather see Justin Herbert or the Jets defense in the playoffs. The Vikings can save America tomorrow night.
And the Patriots have 4 straight primetime games. They've got tomorrow night. Ugh. They've got next Thursday against Buffalo. Ugh. They've got next Monday night against the Cardinals. And then they've got Sunday night, December 18th, against the Raiders. Ugh. And on top of that, there's not a whole lot of wins left in their schedule. I mentioned, you know, tomorrow night, Buffalo, they still got to play them twice. They still got to play Miami. They still got to play the Bengals. This could be make or break. You look back at the end of the year. If the Patriots got in, it's because they win this game. If they didn't, it's probably because they lost.
I can't believe I have to endure Patriots, Cardinals, and then Patriots, Raiders.
Well, Patriots, Raiders will get flexed out that day for sure if you look at the schedule. But still, enough with the primetime. By the way, you talked about Thanksgiving. You talked about the Cardinals. How about freaking Christmas Day when we get to it? Broncos, Rams is your main Christmas Day dinner game.
Obnoxious.
Cardinals, Bucks, the Packers who were dead early and on Christmas Day. Ugh.
Adam Silver's laughing right now.
One more note on the Justin Fields injury situation. How bizarre is this? Matt Eberflus yesterday described Justin Fields' injury as day-to-day. However, will not rule out the possibility it's season-ending. Now, I'm guessing that that's just a chess move, but is it actually the end of the season? They're just kind of, they're going to shut him down. Do they just want to make the Jets guess on whether he's going to play or not? Or is it not severe at all and they're overplaying their hand?
It could be either. I'm so tired of this cat and mouse game to get one up each other. I mean, who cares? Just tell us if he's all right or not. Season ending.
Yeah, as though the reason the Bears would win was because Robert Saleh took too much time preparing for a guy that's not going to be there.
So stupid.
When we come back on the show, Mraz has his up the gut picks for this NFL week, and he went 2-1 last weekend. Let's do it next, and the football food of the week. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Puffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
Remember, you can watch the show at watchda.com. You can also watch on Twitch or on YouTube. We send out the link every single day and chat alongside other D-Aliens as you are watching the show. That's every single day. You can watch the simulcast multiple places, including your phone. Last week, Mraz went 2-1 on the season, which means he's 18-15 overall. He's above 500, 2.5 game lead over Zach Gelb in the standings. First pick, Falcons Commanders. This one's at FedEx Field in Washington. And instead of the hot Commanders, Mraz going the other way and the underdog Falcons on the road.
How about that? And by the way, full disclosure here. Remember, we are picking these games on Wednesday, not Friday, so lines are subject to change. However, as it stands right now, this game actually, DA, even since I typed this out, has climbed to 4. That's how much public money is on the Commanders. I am grabbing those points with the Falcons. Call it a gut feeling, call it a hunch. We all see now every week this league is so week to week, right? I've now seen the Atlanta Falcons behind Marcus Mariota, behind their run game, be able to control the line of scrimmage and be competitive this year based on winning those battles. On the flip side, that's exactly how the Commanders have had this hot streak going. It just feels like everybody is so tantalized by what the Commanders have become the last couple weeks. It wasn't that long ago they were only beating the Colts by a point themselves. I think the Falcons rise up here and might just win this game and send everybody back into a little Commander reality with Taylor Heinicke. And if you want to throw at me that Kyle Pitts is out, well, the Falcons haven't used Kyle Pitts right all year anyway. So how could I consider that big a loss? Also, Cordarrelle Patterson easily could break a big play in this game. That's the difference. Not like the Commanders are going to go blow them out. Blow them out. Give me the Falcons getting the points in this game.
I enjoyed Moose Johnson last week calling Cordarrelle Patterson Cordell Patterson. The entire game. Wow, okay. Everyone's zigging. Mraz is zagging on that game. Bucks and Browns. This one's from First Energy in Cleveland. Is this the last game without Deshaun Watson?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
This is the last Jacoby Brissett game for the Cleveland Browns. Bucks are on the road in Cleveland. Had the bye last week after the Germany game. Bucks favored by a field goal. Mraz likes the Bucks laying 3.
Yeah, so I'm laying the points with the Bucks. Don't get me wrong. I'm a little tepid still, big word for me, on the Bucks, right? I mean, boy, it was 3 weeks ago. The Rams, who stink, had them dead to rights with 2 minutes left, and then the Bucks come roaring back, and since then go to Germany, win that game versus Seattle. Was that a matter of a lot of, Seattle tired, into the bye, big flight, the whole thing? Could be, but here's the deal. 2 straight wins and a nice, fresh Tom Brady here going into Cleveland, where the Browns, you can't tell me those players aren't looking around going, when do we get Deshaun Watson back next week? I don't think Cleveland's very good. I think they'll run the ball at times in this game. By no means do I think the Bucs are going to go score 30 points and blow them out. But as long as it's a small spread like this, the Bucs are the better team. They should go take care of business and continue this, upward climb of saving their season, so to speak. Give me Tampa.
There is definitely a path also where the Bucs actually look okay by the time we get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're not going to have much stress winning the division. And so they'll be able to kind of like stack a few wins, win the division at 10-7, maybe even 9-8. And if they play 2 or 3 decent games down the stretch and they get guys healthy and they go into the playoffs, Tom Brady wild card weekend with a home game, you like the Bucks there, especially in a very weak NFC.
Yeah, I mean, I won't versus the Giants. But yes, good point. I mean, either way, yes.
If the Seahawks go to Tampa wildcard weekend,
I'm taking the Bucs.
If the Commanders go to Tampa wildcard weekend,
I'm taking the Bucs.
If the Giants go to Tampa wildcard weekend,
Giants.
This is where the Bucs suddenly find themselves, division round weekend, you know, on the road in Philadelphia or something, and maybe they don't win that game. They're on the road in Minnesota or something like that, but still, you find Tom Brady playing on the second-to-last weekend of the NFC playoffs.
I don't disagree with that take.
Seahawks and Raiders. Seahawks are at home. They are laying 3.5 points. Mraz likes the home team.
Let me tell you something right now. I am up to week 12 times 3, 36 picks in. I don't think I've liked a pick more than I like Seattle laying 3.5 at home versus the Raiders all season long. All right, not that long ago, you went to about week to week. Derek Carr's crying because the Raiders couldn't beat Jeff Saturday and the Colts. And last week, if it wasn't Melvin Gordon once again fumbling for the Denver Broncos, we're still talking about this spiraling thing with the Raiders. So now you mean to tell me this team that we know stinks, that we know is so emotionally distraught their quarterback is crying, needs basically their own mirror version of themselves in the Denver Broncos to hand a game to them, is going to go up to Seattle, where it's hard enough to play if the Seahawks are really good. And it's still hard to play if the Seahawks aren't a good team. But the Seahawks are a pretty solid team. The Seahawks are now also off of a bye week. They understand that this division is not a runaway. And all I'm laying is 3.5 points with the Seahawks? Are you kidding me?
It's a fishy line. I wonder why.
I think it's a fishy line because we haven't seen the Seahawks play in a couple of weeks. I think the books still don't fully believe in Seattle. And I think, okay, well, now you feel good about the Raiders. They won, right? I mean, that's a nationally interested team. The Seahawks are winning this game by at least a touchdown. The Raiders somehow going to Seattle, their offensive line, no shot. Give me the Seahawks laying 3.5 points here. I love this pick.
Okay. Mraz likes the Falcons plus the 3. Likes the Bucs laying a field goal in Cleveland and likes the Seahawks at home, 3.5 or more. Finally, the always undefeated football food of the week provides us something that I've never heard of. Sounds very fattening, but also quite delicious. Mraz, take it away.
This just shows, again, DA not paying attention last year around this time when I used the same food. Although now that I'm starting to think about it, I might have done these picks when you were off on Thanksgiving morning last year. That might have been what happened. Okay. But I'm going stuffing waffle sandwich.
I've never heard of this.
Say what?
Yeah, you got that right.
Real easy. Now, you're going to...
Wait a minute.
You're going to have your leftovers all packed up. Whether you host Thanksgiving or whether Aunt Margaret sends you home with some Tupperwares, right? And who doesn't love turkey sandwich the next day?
Love it.
But after a while, let's face it, Friday, whether you're doing the England-U.S. game, whether it's Saturday, you got a little Michigan-Ohio State, or if the leftovers really extend till Sunday, you open that fridge and the whole thing smells like turkey gas, and you're like, whew, I got to do this again? It's time to change it up and not go with the simple plan. Look, if you don't have a waffle iron, I apologize, this isn't for you. Eggos won't work in this case. But if you have a waffle iron, spray that nonstick stuff, take that leftover stuffing, plop it into that waffle iron, all right? Pull down on the waffle iron. Instead of making pancake waffle batter, that stuffing is now going to reheat, regurgitate in some ways, and refry up, and then in hot-pressed waffle form. Then you will take your turkey. I would cut it up a little thinner because, you know, the chunkier, bigger cuts
so
of turkey.
So the stuffing is the bread.
Yes, the bread is the stuffing. The stuffing is the bread. Take your turkey. You want to go cranberry? I'm not even against warming up some corn and mashed potatoes, too. You're going to put that on one half of this stuffing waffle that's come out and fold over the other half, and you're using waffled stuffing as the bread to devour your leftovers. Now, you're eating the same crap you've been eating for 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, whatever it is, but it's a new twist. It's a new je ne sais quoi on the whole deal. new way to use your waffle iron. Stuffing waffle sandwich. Eat your heart out, Bogus.
That's a really good one. Now, you have to have a waffle iron.
Yeah.
I do not have a waffle iron nor a sandwich press, but that's what you need here.
All that DA money, we can't get you a waffle iron?
I guess I just don't eat a lot of pressed sandwiches or make enough waffles. But
you know why you don't? Because you don't have one.
Yeah. This is a really good one. You use the stuffing as the bread, as the sandwich.
Look, Black Friday deals start today. Get out there, get yourself a waffle iron. Let's go.
This is either going to work very well and it's going to come out beautiful, or it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, it falls apart in your hand.
No, this I have made. It does not fall apart. It's very good.
By the way, I love when you say Aunt Margaret gives you some tub of wares.
Oh, Tupperware.
Okay, there you go. The first time you said tub of wares.
And that is your Up the Gut segment. Pat Boyle is in for Pete the Body Bilotti today. Pete bagging out late night last night on us.
Shocker.
Hey, boys.
Tuesday night going into the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, a late night Pete the Body text, which gets us the Pat Boyle, which we like around here. We like having a Pat Boyle in with us, but I hope that doesn't mean, the reason I bring this up, I hope that doesn't mean a stressful Thanksgiving for Pete, because...
Oh, we don't want him to have a stressful Thanksgiving, no.
Well, Pete needs a nice, loosey-goosey, relaxing holiday week, and he's going to have a five-day weekend now, which is good, right? He's not working on Friday?
No, some of us are working Thursday and Friday. Yeah, Pete, have a nice, relaxing Thanksgiving, 5 days off.
So he's got a five-day weekend.
Yeah.
I've got a four-day weekend. He's got a five-day. But if it's because somebody got sick maybe, or there's, I don't know, child care concerns.
I mean, I think that's it, which sucks. I've been there. Yeah. He should have a nice relaxing 5 days. He needs it. Take a little load off. Hasn't used a day off in a while.
I sense some sarcasm there. So he's out today. Boyle is in. Also, Bogish out today. Boy, is Bogish also five-day weekend?
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, a lot of, hard hat guys around the DA show, huh? 5 days. Whew, I think this is the 4th of July. Some situation for these guys.
November vacations.
Yeah. I don't want to hear any funny business in December when old Uncle Shawnee's gone for a week. I'll tell you. I don't want to hear it from those two.
With all of the summer Fridays and Thursdays, I will be working every day during December. You got me every single day.
You will actually be Santa Claus.
If there was a show on Christmas and it wasn't a Saturday, I would be working it or on a Sunday. Luckily, the holidays fall
Sunday
on weekends.
Sunday morning football on Christmas Day. What are we doing?
No, I'm off on that one. I saved one bullet for next week.
By the way.
Or for next month.
Just real quickly, before they're out, I didn't know if you've noticed. Your thoughts, Pat Boyle sweatpants today.
I didn't notice it.
Interesting.
Wow.
Dude, it is Thanksgiving Eve. Do not come in here talking with me about sweatpants.
Well, I'd have to be consistent, though. I've trashed Mraz how many times for sweatpants at the office? I'd have to be consistent. I have to see these.
You want me to stand up?
I have to see them.
I'll see them during the break.
You don't want the folks on Twitch to get a gander at what's going on here?
They look Costco brandish. I don't like the look.
They'll get it on commercial break
as
well.
Okay. We'll keep the cameras running.
Cap will keep the cameras running. Standing by, though, with headlines, with Bogues out, is our friend Erica Herskowitz. Erica, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, Ben Simmons greeted in the city of brotherly love last night, as you would expect him to have been greeted, with many boos and some F Ben Simmons chants. Mm-hmm. In his return to Philadelphia, the shorthanded Sixers knocked off the Nets 115-106 behind 24 points from Tobias Harris. Simmons finished with a double-double, 11 points, 11 assists in the loss. Meanwhile, the Suns beat the Lakers 115-105. Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges led the way with 25 points apiece as the Suns continue to win at home, now 9-1 in Phoenix. The Kings topped the Grizzlies 113-109. De'Aaron Fox with 32 points, and the Pistons outscored the Nuggets 110-108 to snap a seven-game losing streak. Top 25 college basketball games between ranked opponents. Number 8 Creighton outscored number 9 Arkansas 90-87, and number 14 Arizona defeated number 17 San Diego State 87-70. Two games in the NHL. The Sabres skated past the Canadiens 7-2. The Rangers iced the Kings 5-3. In the NFL, Panthers quarterback Sam Darnold will be the starter for Sunday's game against the Broncos, as PJ Walker's dealing with that ankle sprain, and Baker Mayfield just pretty much stunk against the Ravens last Sunday. And the Rams waived their leading rusher Daryl Henderson. And at the World Cup this morning, Morocco and Croatia played to a thrilling scoreless draw. Later on, Germany plays Japan. And that's what's happening.
Thank you very much, Erica. Pat Boyle is a big soccer fan. He's actually rocking his Red Bulls jersey this morning. give us a breakdown of how massive the upset was of Saudi Arabia over Argentina and Leo Messi yesterday.
I'd say just on a game basis, it was probably the biggest upset in the group stages the World Cup's ever seen.
Ever.
Judging by the odds, I mean, since, like, you know, the sports betting odds were a thing, it was the largest upset.
Because Saudi Arabia was the second lowest ranked team in the World
Cup. Outside of the hosts.
Outside of Qatar. And Argentina was one of the favorites to win.
Yeah, they were probably the number one or number two favorite. Now, they were the number one. I think some of the sports books, you can get them at the top favorite. Other than that, it was Brazil. But, yeah, they were plus, like, on the money line, they were plus 2,500. So if you put $100 on, now, soccer, it's always, you know, you got to pick, you have the tie. So you have three options to choose from rather than just two. But if you put $100 down on Saudi Arabia to win, you would have won $2,500.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's a massive, massive, massive number in line that they end up covering.
Wow. Like, I'm trying to think. I think when the Bucks lost to the Panthers, they were 13-point favorites. I think you can get the Panthers on the money line. They were, like, plus 600. Try that times four.
So, and they were a 13-point favorite. We're talking about the Bucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're talking about maybe being a 50-point favorite in football.
That's as if, like, Alabama lost to, like, Austin, PA. Over the weekend.
Austin P.
It's not PA?
No.
You don't know the little Austin PA?
It looks like PA, yes.
It's just Austin P?
It's just P.
Oh, my God. Imagine going to that school. Brutal. Yeah, where do you go? I go to Austin P.
And then U.S. Wales.
That was, yep.
How disappointing is getting a draw there for the U.S.?
I think going into the game, you probably would have taken it, but the way they dominated that first half, they controlled possession. Wales was... They think they're a good counter-attacking team. They're not. So they were just content to let the U.S. just kind of push down their throats, and they couldn't really do anything. And then I think the U.S. got a little tired. I don't think they were fully fit for that game. And I think the coach, Berhalter, made some really bad decisions, not bringing in Giovanni Reyna, who's one of the best young players, plays in Europe, plays for Borussia Dortmund in Germany. So I think the fact that they went up 1-0 and played so well, the fact that they then let that win slip away, now it's going to come down to who gets a better result versus England. Because if Wales ties England, again, on paper, you assume they both beat Iran. But Saudi Arabia showed you that nothing is a given. So, yeah, it was a disappointing start considering how they started that game.
It doesn't give you much leeway now, because if you beat Wales, then you already have a win in the group. And you assume you could beat Iran.
Yep.
And so that's going to push you in to the knockout stage. The draw against Wales makes now everything a little wonky. As you said, if you both beat Iran, it comes down to who performs better against England.
And pressure, the final game pressure is a real thing. So the fact that Wales gets to play Iran second, if they beat them and U.S. loses to England,
then you know then the result you have to chase.
Then you not only have to beat Iran in the final game, but you need help from England. You would need England to beat Wales. And at that point, if England beats the U.S. on Friday, they're essentially already in. What motivation do they have to go out and you know, give extra effort to win that last game?
Black Friday, U.S. and England at 2 o'clock Eastern time. The U.S. needs a draw there. That's what's the key. They just cannot lose that game.
Yeah, and they can do it. You know, don't get fooled by England smashing Iran 6-2. England's got some – they're definitely susceptible. So that's a game that the U.S. can definitely go out and get a result. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if they can take their chances and finish the goals that come to them.
When we come back, Gelb's Gamble. Zach Gelb went 2-1 last week. Mraz is trying to keep a 2.5 game lead for the Bob's Bar Show and the payment payoff. If Mraz wins, Zach Gelb's parking car stresses Matt Rhule. If Gelb wins, Mraz is dressed as Matt Rhule and on all fours getting pinned the tail in the oinker. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I don't look anywhere near Sean. I've been here for 12 years. I mean, can you at least give me some respect? You know, I've been around the office. I'm a nice guy. Enough. Call me by my right name, which is Pierre Bellotti. Damn it.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That reminds me of when Bart Scott congratulated Bellotti on getting married. when in reality it was Mraz that had just gotten married that weekend.
No, you got it wrong.
It was the opposite?
No, he congratulated he who should not be named when it was Bilotti that got married.
Bilotti had his wedding, and then the next week, Bart thanked the or congratulated the wrong guy in the office. And Pete took it as such a sign of disrespect.
That was the best day of my life when that happened.
Because also, Pete fancies himself as so much more handsome and in shape than he who shall not be named. So to be confused with him on his greatest day.
And Pete invited Bart, and Bart didn't show up. So he went up and he said, just congratulations. Sorry, I couldn't make it. He had the Bart seat sitting at the wedding.
Bart, good thing you didn't show up. You would have went to the wrong guy's wedding. Bart would have showed up and been like, whose wedding am I at anyway?
He should not be named going married. I didn't get married.
This isn't my wedding.
All right. It is time for Zach Gelb's retort to Mraz's picks this weekend. Here it is, Gelb's Gambles.
D-Aliens, happy Thanksgiving. I'll be enjoying my lasagna on Thursday while you pretend to enjoy your overrated turkey. And yes, I could already see Mraz turning red, probably eating a bug and rolling his eyes when he just heard those words said on this very fine national radio program. It's a short week, so we are going to keep it short and sweet and just get to the picks. The Denver Broncos are comparable to Mraz's quest to lose 100 pounds before Taylor's birthday. A lot of sizzle and a lot of promises, but the results aren't showing. But here and there, Mraz surprises some people and moves in the right direction for a week and eats a salad after a tough Giants loss instead of stuffing his face with Carvel ice cream. The Broncos this week will be eating a salad and find a rare victory before relapsing and stuffing their face with a ridiculous amount of food for the rest of the season. So, give me the Broncos laying 2.5 points against the Carolina Panthers. Next up, the Chargers are getting healthy. Hopefully Justin Herbert won't get his hand stuck in a door this week at the Chargers facility like Mraz once did in the CBS Sports Radio studios. Give me the Chargers laying 3 points against the Arizona Cardinals. And finally, Steelers and Colts. This game could be as boring as reading through Moist Pork's tweets about DA's wardrobe or Dixieland Dan's tweets about my performance during these picks. DA, by the way, I'm in the process of booking Elon Musk on the Zach Gelb show. I'm taking your advice. No more killing people with kindness. I'm just going to ask Elon to make Dixieland Dan's account magically disappear. Anyway, I'm hoping the Steelers and Colts game could disappear from a primetime spot as well on Monday Night Football. But since that doesn't look like it will happen, I'll take the points in this matchup. Give me the Steelers +3. So my picks are the Broncos -2.5, Chargers -3, and the Steelers +3. Happy Thanksgiving to all, and may your Thanksgiving rule the day.
Oh, Matt Rule pun. There you go. Yeah, what we said last week was Dixieland Dan does not like Gel making these picks. And I asked you this on the PGP last week. Are there other people on Twitch that are anti-Gelb making the picks? Because Pat Boyle was the popular vote guy when we were deciding who to make pit against you back in the summer, and we gave it to Gelb, and now Dan will never let us live that down, and I'm not sure if there's anybody else that's not anti-Gelb.
I don't get the vibe that there's anybody anti-Gelb besides Dan. He's just very loud about being anti-Gelb.
The vocal minority.
Yeah. Now, I mean, if you don't know the difference between Alon and Elon, it's like a Waco Waco thing. I think that could make people anti-Gelb. I don't know.
But Boyle has been picking games in secrecy over the course of this season, giving the picks only to Andrew Bogish. And we have decided that if at the end of the season, even if Gelb beats Mraz, Gelb would not have the slot next year if Boyle does better on picks. We do not have the tally, though. That'll be released at the end of the season by Bogish in a vast grand ceremony.
There will be, although I will already tell you, much like the 12 DAs, which, by the way, nobody's given me their votes for, that I sense serious controversy coming with Boyle's picks, as I've had some inside sources tell me something about Boyle's picks.
Oh, and no. What is that?
Oh, no. He didn't get picks in 1 week, and we have to give him an 0-3?
No, I think that I want to wait till the end. Just know that when it comes out, know that I've already teased that there is going to be major controversy.
Major!
That we're not playing apples to apples.
How is it major controversy?
I have been told that some of Pat Boyle's picks have not been straight teams on the spread, but player props perhaps included.
Who tells you that?
And if that is the case, we are not... Yeah, me and Gelb...
You heard me wrong?
Player props if we wanted to. The game is the picks here. The
who tells you that?
Just know.
Who's your source?
Just know I have sources. I'm not going to reveal them.
Okay. Well, they're pretty bad sources. They're pretty bad sources. I'm going to tell you that much. Maybe you should find a new source.
Just telling you what I heard.
Why would I ever give out a player prop?
Yeah, picking a player prop in a secret standings would be really ridiculous.
Well, I think they're games he actually plays or picks he actually plays. So he gives Bogus his three best plays. And look, again, this is all I was told. If I'm wrong, then I got to come back to my source.
Yeah, you got to come back to your source.
Your source is a bad kid.
Maybe not. We'll see.
Your source is a bad. So that's going to be one of the great reveals in show history. Is when we trot Bogus in on some type of chariot and have him unveil the final standings of whether that beat Gelb for the season and what that means for 2023. When we come back here on the show, is USC about to get screwed out of the playoff? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.